I'm also. Let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for being with us on this beautiful and blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for everyone tuning in. We appreciate your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, so it says lesson three, the Father. Let's get some personal thoughts. What do you think of when you hear the word Father? Anybody like to share? What do you think of when you think of Father?
A protector and provider.
Yep, protector, provider. That's what I was thinking right off too. Strong, I always think of strong. Anybody else? What comes to mind when you hear the word Father?
I always think of someone loving, someone who cares about me, someone who has my best interests at heart, someone like one of you always saying protective, very protective. I was a mom, I was a daddy's girl, so someone who wants to bless me, with his presence, with his
I always think about the word
attention, with his
guidance.
guidance, all that.
Okay, yeah, I like guidance, leadership, someone who shows you the way.
Yep.
Okay, anything else? Just from personal thought. Now, think about this. We're out here, our duty is to introduce others to Jesus Christ, introduce others to God. So suppose we talk to somebody about the father, but they didn't have such a good relationship with their father. Maybe their father left. Maybe they never knew their father. Maybe their father was abusive in some way. What would that do to your efforts as an evangelist or as a witness? How would
Nothing.
you handle that? Nothing.
Nothing. Because first I'd pray. And then secondly, I would ask, describe your ideal father. They would give their answer, and then I'd describe the Father God that's in the Bible and from my own personal experience.
Okay. Anybody else? Would that influence you, your methods, because the person you're talking to had maybe an abusive or an absent father?
So. You know what
No, you gotta come up. So.
I mean?
Lakita's gotta come up closer to the microphone.
I think it will. The person may exhibit some anger, when you say your father. You know what I mean?
No, it's gurgled.
Oh, okay. This is this new sample computer we have. Microphone's not that good. So yeah, I think it will affect how we work because they may be angry at fathers. They may not trust the father, especially if the father had molested them, beat them in some kind of way, or had rejected them. So that could be a stumbling block for
You
them.
garbled,
Oh,
Lakeith.
yeah.
Really?
Hold on.
Okay, I gotta put my mouth. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, at least speak so I can see if they can hear you too.
Can y'all hear me too? Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so this ain't gonna work. Well, I was just saying that it might be, it may affect it because the person may be angry at the father. And so when you mention father, they may feel angry, they may not be able to understand what a fatherly love is, especially if the father was brutish towards them and beat them. They had been sexually molested by the father. That is really, really going to be hard. So it can affect, our witness. It may look like they're rejecting. They may not really realize how that is affecting them. They look like they're rejecting the message, but and they may do because they're trying to reject that father that they
Yeah.
have.
So we would have to take that into account somewhat, because while we're talking about how good the father is, it's not sinking into them because that's not their image of the father. And everybody has a different image of the father, but in our lesson, it tells us that God, the eternal father, is the creator, source, sustainer, and sovereign of all creation. Creator, source, sustainer, sovereign. So obviously we know what creator means. What does that mean to think that God is your source? What does that mean?
Well,
What is this? Okay.
if I need if I need something, I go to the source. So when I was growing up, I couldn't just run into the store and get what I need to get. I used to have to go to my father or my mother, parents who had monies or whatever that can get what we needed. So when you see your father, make sure you all have what you need. A source of breakfast, a source of lunch or dinner or whatever, you saw them make sure you had what you needed when you opened that refrigerator up. That was the source of your nutrition. You knew that you can open that refrigerator up and see some food, see some things that they provided for you. So he was my source in that aspect.
Source and provider. Anyone else? What does that mean? Source to you, that the Father is your source.
He's the
Well, I
power.
think. What'd you say?
He's the power.
What do you mean
Our
by that?
source. It's like you have a I don't know, small appliance or something, and it doesn't work unless you plug it into the source.
Oh, okay. Peter, would you have?
I like that, what she said. Yeah, that the power, the energy, like Karen was saying, it comes
So
from
let me say
God.
this. One day I was plugging up something and I was like, why doesn't this work? And I was trying to plug it into an extension cord, right? I was like, what is going on? What's wrong with this thing? And what was funny was that the extension cord was plugged into itself. And too many people try to plug into themselves.
That's a sermon in itself.
Yeah, very good. And so it was plugged in, but it was plugged, wasn't plugged into the right source. Sometimes that
Right,
happens too.
right. So when I plugged my small appliance into the extension cord, nothing.
Now we got on the source part. To me, it means that if God is my source, I don't have to depend on anyone else. I don't have to expect anything from others. When I need something or I want something, then I go to him. He might use other people to provide that, but he is the origin or the source of everything that I have or ever will have.
And one verse I think about Lee is he specifically says, I own everything. If I needed something, I wouldn't ask you. Which means
Yeah.
he would get it from himself because he's the author of everything and the source of everything.
And then our lesson also says sustainer. So we understand source. What is sustainer? How is that different from source?
He keeps me.
Keep you what?
He's consistent. Everything I need. First of all, when I think of source, when it comes to God, I think of he's my everything. There's nothing too small or too big. But that he keeps me in everything that I could possibly need, even things I take for granted, like breathing or blinking. He sustains me mentally, physically, and spiritually. So I was thinking about this movie that we watched, and so don't think about the movie because the movie was horrible. But the title itself applies to God, everything, everywhere, all at once.
That movie.
The title is who God is, everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yeah.
I think about sustaining is not only did he create me, so I was created, I was born. Breath came into my body, I started to breathe, but he doesn't just leave you there. There are some people that will heck can create something or start something, and then they go on somewhere. Something else has to deal with it. He keeps, like Lakita, I mean Paula was saying, keeps us going. When even when we're asleep, we keep breathing, heart keeps pumping. I haven't been able to find anybody that can stop their heart. Other than, doing some bodily harm to yourselves. So your heart is always going, your lungs are always breathing. He is the one that is continuing to keep you going, not just create you, but keep you living every single day. Even when you sleep, your heart is beating, you're still breathing. He's keeping you going.
Yeah, and there are some people who believe that God just set the world in motion and now it's going by itself. But we're talking about sustainer, meaning he's still in charge of it. He's still giving it the power. It's still the power is coming from him, and he's the one that keeps it going. I know, I don't know if any of you play piano or organ, but on the organ, there's a pedal called the sustain pedal. I think piano has it too. So when you hit the note and you hit the sustain pedal, then the note stays at its level and it continues on and it keeps moving with the same force. So when God is sustaining us, like Paul is saying, has said, he gives, but he continues to give. So it's like if you borrow, if you give somebody a fish, they're going to eat for one day. But if you teach them the fish, now they're going to be sustained, continued. Able to keep moving forward. So God does give us that ability to keep moving forward, to keep moving, to keep living, to keep progressing, and to keep learning. So it all comes from Him. And then it also says sovereign. And I know we've talked about sovereign before in one of our classes. What does sovereign mean? We talked about it before in one of our classes. I think it was in Sabbath school, and we had a lot of different opinions about sovereign. But basically, ruler over all other rulers. Says also he's just, holy, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Has anybody ever felt that God is that way to them?
Definitely. Amen.
Not just one time, more than one.
Yeah.
And then it says the qualities and powers exhibited in the Son and the Holy Spirit are also revelations of the Father. God, the eternal Father, is creator, source, sustainer, and sovereign of all creation. What does Genesis 1:1 say?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah. In the beginning, God created. So, of course, he's the creator. And Lakita, what did you say earlier today about being able to create?
Creating, being creative or creative is the highest form of intellect, and also that create being creative or creativity is, is love. Being creative is love.
Okay, and you need creativity to create, right? So God has the ultimate creativity as he created heaven and earth. And then Revelation 4:11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things." All things, not a few things, but he created all things. And then it says, "For thy pleasure they are and were created." Why would God create something for his own pleasure? What's the benefit of that? Or why would he do it? Why did God create the world for his own pleasure? How can he get pleasure out of the world?
By you obeying him and loving him and returning that love back to him, and to, I mean, it's just a whole lot of ways for us to go share his love with other folks, for us to, for him to watch us do that, for us to worship him, to praise him. I think that brings him great joy.
Okay, Akita, what were you about to do?
Well, I was thinking about, like, if you are artistic, like make things, it's full of joy. It's fun.
You're gone again, Lakito. We can't hear you.
I said, so if you make things, create things, whether it's writing or arts and crafts or it's a good sales pitch, you create that, you just feel good, you feel happy, you want to spend
You're
time with
gone
that
again.
person. Really, I'm screaming. I'm screaming as loud as I can. I'm about to get up on top of this computer.
Yeah, I
Is
don't
this
know what
better?
happened.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna say it again. When you create, like if you create anything, music, like if you create a good sales pitch for Paula, you do a good sales pitch, and or you make something, you arts and craft like person. It feels good when you finish with your project and you look at it and it's what you wanted it to be like, and it's good. So I think God gets great joy out of us, his creation, even though it's marred by sin. I think he's still very happy or full of joy when he looks at us on this line, studying his word, trying to become more like him.
Does anybody have a hobby? What type of hobbies do you have, Paul?
Say that again, Lee.
What type of hobbies do you have?
I like to do work in my flower bed. I like to do artsy, craftsy stuff.
Okay,
I
what do you
write.
like to plant flowers and do art?
Can't hear you if you're talking.
And said, why do you like to do those things?
I guess that's just something the Lord put in me. My grandmother loved growing things. So I guess that's where I got that from. Also, my grandmother loved writing. She wrote poems and songs. So I guess that's where I get that from.
So, do
But
you hate growing things or do you enjoy growing things?
they give us joy.
Right. That's the exact point of why God created the earth. Give him joy to do stuff. And God could have created all the flowers one color, but he didn't. He could have created one type of tree, but he didn't. He did all those things because he enjoys it. He gets pleasure out of it. He likes doing that.
And I think, I believe this, I think God is happy when we're creating, when you're working in your garden, or, Paula, when do your sales pitch or create a new Bible study, or, I think God is happy when our brains are stretched and we discover something new. I think he finds joy in it. I think all of these secrets, the scientific secrets that we don't know, I think God wants us to know them. Not so that we can be like, science is great, but so we can discover more about God.
We talked about God being the source of life. Oh, let me ask Paula or Andre, did y'all want to share your hobbies?
No, I'm good. Andre
Okay,
rushed out of the room.
one of my hobbies is taking pictures. I like taking pictures. That's one of them. Lakita, you want to share your hobby?
Well, I like writing, like sewing and stuff. And these pictures, he has two pictures that were honorable mentions in these in contests.
Yes, so yeah, I do it for fun. I like taking pictures. I like the joy that it brings to just seeing it to my eyesight and to my vision. And it's fun and enjoyable to try and recreate some things, using the different filters that you can use with photography. So I'll do that for my pleasure, just like God created the world and the planets for his pleasure. Then we talked also about God being a source of life. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets said, for we are his offspring. As much then as we're the offspring of God, we ought not to think the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone created by art and man's device." And then Psalm 36:9 says, "For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light." So it's again talking about God being the source of everything. Any other comments on that part? When we talked about God being a sustainer, does God just sustain humans?
No, he sustains all his creation.
All creation, what do you mean by all creation?
All the animals, all the plants and trees, and everything that has some form of life.
The
Even
earth.
Even the pests and things that bite us and sting us.
Well, the earth stays on its axis. Yeah, he's a sustainer. The sun shines, it rises. I'm bad at directions, so I don't want to say east or west, but
Right.
it rises and sets the same. And he's a sustainer. His hand, you can see his handiwork in everything.
Okay, so God's sustaining everything on the planet, right? Psalm 104:27 says, "These all wait upon thee, that you may give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. But you, when you hide your face, they're troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." So again, talking about God's sustaining power, if God stops to stop sustaining us, we would all die. That's what this verse is saying. What if God stopped sustaining the sun, the planet, the sun? What if he stopped, not planet, but
Everything would die.
Yeah,
yeah, everything
because
would die, right?
this Earth would be a frozen planet.
What
Nothing would
if
grow. I mean, aside from it being a frozen planet, nothing would grow because I mean, we need the sun for things to grow. And so, and we need the pollinators to help with the things to grow. And if it's a frozen planet, everything dies.
Okay. What if God stopped sustaining the Earth's orbit?
We'd spin off into the oblivion.
Yeah, or what if he stopped sustaining the moon or the clouds? Everything has an impact.
Right.
Many things that God takes, many things that we take for granted are
Right.
super complicated, super complex
Right.
situations and systems that God has put in place. And if
Right.
we just move one thing out of place, it's going to cause some effect in another area.
Right. So if he stops sustaining the moon, now you're talking about the tides, and this earth is two-thirds water. So now you're talking about the whole earth being flooded again, and he promised he would never do that again. But you think about in what was it Jeremiah's time where he caused the sun to stand still for 10 for the whole rest of the day so that they could win the battle? And so when you think about it and you think about it like that, there was a lot of things that he had to stop in order for the sun to stand still for the rest of the day. He had to stop the whole universe.
Pretty amazing. And that's the point. God sustains the whole universe. Everything, anything that we can think of or see, God is it all.
What you said, Karen, that is just so profound when you think about, like you said, he had to stop the whole universe. How God is so interested in our well-being when we are especially following out his commands. He is just so interested, so willing to help in any way possible. So he even held up, the world, held up time. So that they could win that battle. That was from a prayer, right? That someone prayed for God to do that because, they were wanting to win this battle before it got too late or whatever, the sun went down and stuff. And that's just interesting how we just don't realize how powerful our prayers are too.
Again, that's part of going to the source. When we pray, we go to the source, the one who can actually make changes. It doesn't do them any good to pray to you because you don't have the source. You're not the source. So whenever we pray, we have to go to the source, and that is the Almighty God, our Father in heaven. And he loves us. He takes care of us. He gives us everything that we need for this life. And if we really believe that, we wouldn't worry so much about where our next meal is coming from, how I'm going to get this position, what am I going to do next week about this problem I'm having. When we recognize that God is our source and our sustainer, then we trust in him with all our heart. And we don't think about how we ourselves can solve issues, but how Is God going to solve this issue? Because He is our sustainer. Then it finally it says also God is sovereign over all the universe for all eternity. Is never a stopping point when God is not sovereign. He's sovereign from beginning to end, and even throughout eternity. For you personally, what attributes do you appreciate about God? I know we all appreciate everything, but what are some of the specific attributes that you appreciate about God?
What I just said about don't do that. What I just what Karen just said about the holding up time for someone here on Earth, when all these other planets and so much that is clamoring for the attention of God, but He can look at your one situation, just you. It's just you and Him. He cares just about you. That's the thing, that He will intervene in our lives like that to do something miraculous, something awesome, that we would never, expect. Just to even for a person to say that prayer, I'm gonna have to look that prayer up. That is just amazing too.
Anybody else have an attribute they'd like to share that they appreciate about God?
It's too much to tell it all, but right off the cuff, really, where do you start? Mercy and grace and His love. I'm grouping those three because even though I intellectually kind of sort of understand it, all three of those on His level are so infinite that we can't even begin to grasp it. But yet I know He gave it to me for free.
That actually takes us to our next verse. It's Exodus 34, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7, where it says that Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory. And it says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.
Amen.
So right on time, merciful and gracious. God's holiness and justice also require that sinners are destroyed, but it's mingled with His love and mercy and grace. And that makes forgiveness and salvation available to all who will receive them. God is just, holy, and merciful. I think He Himself said it. Those are some of His top attributes, along with everything else that comes with love. I don't think we can ever say too much about the love of God and about His grace and mercy.
And again, in that verse that Paula just brought up about that about mercy and love, then we see Him reaching out to us. You know how He reaches out, He cares for us. And that's, I don't know, that to me that's just amazing, that there's someone who absolutely, that there's a God, a big God. And how He lead, did you say He walked past him and saying, "My mercy," read that verse. Then that's kind of amazing too, how God wants us to know Him. He just, it's kind of like He can't stand this breach either. He just wanted somebody, some human being, well, in this case it was Moses, to Moses wanted to see Him, and He wanted Moses to see Him too,
Now, this brings up a good question. If God is so loving and merciful, how can He destroy sinners?
Well, they call he calls that his strange act, but he knows that they would not be happy in heaven. It'll be torture for them in heaven.
But also, He loves the sinner but hates the sin. But when we choose to hold on to those sins, we will be destroyed with sin.
Yeah, kind of like it says sin is in us. And He can't separate us from the sin. He's trying to get rid of the sin. That's interesting. It's
God.
just like, to me too, that's another, I know it sounds like, well, it's what Karen said. That's another act of love. Like we're getting to go through trials in the fire right now, to so that we can be purged and cleansed and stuff and ready for Jesus. But if we don't, if those little trials, these little trials that we're going through, doesn't purge us and cleanse us, then there's nothing that's going to change that when we get to heaven.
Yeah, one thing we have to remember too is God is loving and merciful, of course, but he's also a just God. And if his laws have been violated, justice demands that the penalty is put out. And the penalty for sin is what? Death.
Yeah.
So unless people have accepted Christ's sacrifice in their place, then they're going to have to pay the penalty on their own. But 1 John 1:9 says it, and this has always been one of my favorite verses, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's up to us to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness so that he will cover us with his grace and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And does that grace apply only to certain people?
No,
No, it's
not
for
at all.
everyone.
It applies for everyone that avails themselves of it.
Yeah, what is John 3:16 say?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish.
The whole world, not just certain people, anyone and everyone that believeth in his Son Jesus Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then also Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through redemption in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're just talking about. When you accept Christ, then you have redemption through him, and you don't have to pay the wages of sin, death. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or substitute through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. So throughout all of these things, love, mercy, long suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, God is a just God, and he will in no wise cleanse the guilty. No wise let the guilty go free, rather. So the characteristics of God's Father, what is a good, God has many good characteristics. What's one of the best ways to see those characteristics? Or what did God do that allowed us to see those characteristics?
Well, first of all, they're in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are a transcript of his character.
Very good. Anybody else? What did God do that allowed us to see his characteristics more clearly?
Then Jesus said so that we can get to know who the Father
Gave us
is.
Jesus.
So he gave us Jesus.
Yeah. That's exactly it, the commandments, his word and his word and his testimony, and also his own only begotten Son. And that was the whole point of Christ, was to reveal the characteristics of the Father to the world. Because you find that a lot of people come up, as we were talking about earlier, about fathers, when they think of father, they're thinking mean and angry and abusive. But Jesus came to let people know, no, that's not my father. That's not him. This is my father. And he tells us in John 14:9, have I been so long with you and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, show us the Father? So when we look at Jesus and his characteristics, he is a perfect example of God the Father, our Heavenly Father as well. It's like sometimes people see you with your kids and they say, wow, they just spit an image of you, or they see a child acting a certain way and they say, oh, I know that's got to be so-and-so's daughter. I can tell by the way they act, because they pick up those characteristics from their parents. So when we look at Jesus, he is the full characteristics, the full spitting image of his Father. And that's another way that we can get to know the Father, is through the life and the actions of Jesus and words. Any other thoughts on Jesus as our great example? And then also Hebrews 1, verse 2 and 3 says that God in these last days spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, express image meaning specific image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So again, that's another way that God is, our Father is making himself known to us. And then too, through his Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit reveals the Father to us. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he shall take of mine and show it to you. So the Holy Spirit is again revealing the Father and the Son to us through his actions and through his leading. I remember a person told me, he said, people see me with my son and they say, oh, I know that's his son. He's a spitting image of him. He looked just like him. And he kind of laughed about it a lot. I said, what's so funny? I said, I guess he looks like you or acts like you. And he said, because my son is adopted. And I was thinking about that. He thinks it's funny because people saying he looked just like you. But that's how we are. We're adopted sons of God. But through following his example and becoming more and more like Christ, we look just like him. We become the spitting image of him so that when people see our good works, they glorify our Father in heaven. And I know that some of you have heard sometimes people say, oh, you must be a Christian. I can tell by the way that you speak, or I can tell by the way that you act, or I can tell by the things that you do that you're a Christian. So even though we're adopted into the family, we still look like the image of our Father. Isn't that a great blessing?
Yes.
It's amazing, and it's a real honor. It's a real honor to be known as a child of the King, right? Everything that we do should be geared towards us becoming more and more like Christ. And as we see the days growing more close to his second coming, we see that the people are starting to act a little worse. People are a little more mean, travesties going on around the world. But we still have the calling to be like our Father in heaven. We're still called to show the glory that he showed us through love, through being merciful to others, through being kind to others, through letting other people know about salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's including our enemies. It's not so easy to love your enemies, but that's what we're called to do. And it's not because we want our enemies to like us. It's that we want our enemies to see Christ in us. We want our enemies to see the image of God in us. So our work is really cut out for us. And one of the biggest roadblocks to allowing the image of God to be shown through us is ourselves. We have to put ourselves behind and we have to put God forward. I know there's a lot of times where I don't want to do things, but as the scripture says, the love of Christ constraineth me. And so I end up doing them, and that glorifies my Father in heaven. And I know that each one of you have done the same things. And it's probably going to be a little bit tougher now as it seems like people are just kind of getting off the handle, the way they're acting, the way people are treating other folks. But that is our calling as a Christian, to be in the world, but not of the world. And again, the way that we do that is to exemplify our Father in heaven through our words, through our deeds, and through our actions. Amen.
Amen.
All right. If there's any final thoughts on our Heavenly Father, if not, Karen, where will we be at next week in the testimonies?
Okay, we're in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, Chapter 113, and we will be beginning at paragraph 658.1.
Chapter 113, 658.1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll close out our session with a word of prayer. Lakita, would you offer a prayer for us, please?
In the blessed name of Jesus, we come humbly before your throne of grace and mercy, Father. We ask that you will help us to see you clearly, to understand who you are, dear Lord, and to emulate you, Lord. We ask that as we go through this week coming up, that you, as we go on our divine appointed destinations, and you going ahead of us and before us, or behind us and beside us, leading, guiding, and directing us, dear Lord, that we will hear your voice. We will not harden our heart, Lord, so that we may all be saved. In the blessed name of King, in the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Paula, did you go down to Alumni Weekend?
No, I